In Ecclesiastes chapter 9, as we have been reading, studying, looking at, verse 11, just let me review that, if I may. Ecclesiastes 9:11. Remember now, Solomon is looking at life, and he's looking at life having all the equipment. He has all the understanding. From a human standpoint, he's missing no material thing. He's missing no possession. He's missing no privilege. He has everything that is possible to have, to be had in life. And as much as he would wish it and wanted it. So he lacked nothing. And thus he's speaking to us and helping us. God uses him. And God is going to use his father David, you'll see in a bit here, is just has went through life more difficult than Solomon did. David had difficult times, but Solomon didn't. Solomon never had war. He never had to worry about anything. God gave him 40 years of peace. That's what God gave him because of his father David. Never because of Solomon. God did that because of his father to him. So now, with that little bit in mind, Solomon is going to help us again, looking at life, trying to look at life under the sun on planet Earth, not having anything higher than the stars and the moon. That's as high as we look. And we're living on planet Earth, and we're going through whatever. And thus, he says, in his sequence of thought. In verse 11, keeping in mind the outworking of God's wonderful management, it is his creation. All that God has created is inscrutable, is not easily understood. It is a mystery, mysterious, unfathomable. How do we fathom it? How do we get a handle on it? Perplexing, baffling. Here we are on earth, and life is so out of our hands. It's in our hands, but out of our hands. It's unpredictable, life is. Now, having said that, verse 11. I returned and saw under the sun. Remember now, he's looking, seeing under the sun. And he's filled with emotion. The verb is full of emotion, full of excitement. I returned. I'm looking again. I'm examining again. I'm looking at it all. And in the process of that, I returned and saw under the sun that the race is not to the swift. Remember now, you're looking at that which is going to help us understand that everything is unpredictable. It may seem unpredictable. It's uncertain. We try to predict, we try to do all of that. We try to avoid the unavoidable, we try to escape the inescapable, that's what we do. But there it is, it exists. And with all of its uncertainty under the sun, the present state of existence on planet Earth. And thus he lists the illustrations, the race is not to the swift. We share together each time a noun, the swift ones. And so you can't say, well, you're fast in sports and you win. Not always. It doesn't always work that way. Not at all. And secondly, the battle to the strong ones, the battle, the rage, the strongest, the biggest army, the biggest this, the mostest that. In warfare, they don't always win. Not at all. And neither yet bread to the wise, food to the wise, the intellect, to the those who have ability, intellectual activity, the material gain, the material reward to earn a living. Everything doesn't come out just because they're intelligent, wise, they have ability. It doesn't mean it comes out. It just doesn't work that way always. It just doesn't do it. And yet riches to men of understanding, understanding people, those to distinguish with intelligence, etc., to mark skill, to have skill in something. And so neither yet riches increase wealth to men of understanding. That just isn't there. It just isn't there either. You would think it would be, but it isn't. Doesn't work out that way always at all. And we shared together with Joseph, remember. And Joseph, here's the word it used of him, understanding, discreet. He was a discreet man. And God put him through whatever. And God did it. And if you were to predict in the beginning, Joseph with his coat of many colors, favored by God, as a young boy, you would say, boy, he's going to really make it. But boy, everything happened in his whole life that made him like a loser. But in the end, he's able to say in Genesis 50, the world and flesh and everyone meant it for evil, but God meant it for good. God meant it for good. God had a reason for it all. And thus we did with King Solomon. King Solomon asked as a young man, a young person, he asked because he was taking his father's place. And in taking his father's place, he said, give me wisdom. Here's your word, understanding. Give me this. Give me this understanding, this discernment. And he didn't ask for wealth or nothing. He just asked to be able to do God's will in the light of God's people, to do it rightly. And that's all he asked. And God blessed him. And God gave him the discretion, the understanding. And God gave him all that. And he gave him that plus everything else to boot. He gave him. And in the process of that, when it comes to in his life, he went and did not do that well with things. And he lost his privileged position, getting involved in chapter 11 with many things that he shouldn't have. And you'll notice, please, in verse 11, the last one, nor yet favor to be inclined to bend oneself, kindness, to bend one, to have favor, to receive favor in the light of one's eyes. The person's looking and you have favor in the light of that person. In the end of verse 11 there, nor yet favor to men of skill, men knowing ones, instructed ones, people that have skill and understanding. And it has to do with favor, people that are in a position and they have in social arrangements. And it isn't always true that the person in that place gets special treatment by the person, or the person himself gets special treatment. And they do not have, with all the special connections, you know, you try to have, people have, and to get special treatment. And it doesn't always work out that way at all. Favor, special treatment, using it that way, to men of skill. And they just doesn't come out the way it should. Where you think it should, and there's no special treatment. So when you come now to the end of verse 11, it's going to give you the add to that. And remember now, you cannot be, we shared it together, you cannot be assured of success because you have the qualities which make for success. You may have the qualities, but you can't be assured of success. You can't be. And thus, you have the end. Now it's going to give you a reason, a motivation, an understanding, but, because, a reason. Because, why is all this true? Because time and chance happeneth to them all. There's no one in sports, business, the world, there's no one anywhere that these things don't happen to, the unpredictable, the uncertain. No one is exempt. Time exempt. Time and chance seemingly make it so that everything seems to be disconnected. And from the looking, whether it be to, no matter what your quality is, and one's in competing in anything, you may not be a winner. You may not be successful at all. Thus, time and chance happeneth to them all. Time, we'll look at that in just a moment. God's dealing with things. Time. And chance, incident, to happen. An event, fate, to happen. And so if you take time, using time, and to get the two words together that would help you, when you say time and chance happens to everybody, time, there's a time when things happen, and what happens, when it happens, and what happens. Time and chance, when and what. Unpredictable, uncertain, at the very best. And thus, you may say, the appropriate time, when, the actual circumstances, chance, when things really happen, the actual circumstances in which something takes place. So you would say, there's a time to happen. What happens, and when it happens. Time, and chance, and time. What happens, chance, time, when it happens. And you got the two words. What happens and when it happens, time and chance. And it happens, to meet, to encounter. Going down the road and you meet something, you come across something, you're driving your car, you are walking on the road, you know, wherever you're going through your house, and you come across, you meet, you encounter. Something happens on your movement. As you're moving through, something happens. Time and chance happens as you go down the corridor of time. Time and chance happens. And it happens to everybody. There's no exemptions, none whatsoever. Thus, if we may, verse 12. Now it's going to give you an illustration of what you just had. It's going to illustrate. Things happen suddenly. They happen unexpectedly. For man also knoweth not his time. Man does not know the time. In particular, there's one time all the way through this. The most unpredictable event in a person's life. The moment of their death. The most unpredictable event in a person's life. The moment of their death. And remember, we read together earlier, God is in charge of the moment of your death. You can't say, I have it. No, you could even take a cannon and shoot, I'm exaggerating, and do whatever, but you couldn't guarantee you'd die. I had a fellow I knew, a minister actually, in the process, and he had problems, and he ran from up in Boston up there. He ran through his, he was up in, remember Boston has all these different levels of houses, of floors going up, and in the process he frustrated, and he ran right down the corridor of his floor, out the window, and down three stories or whatever it was, down to the bottom, and guess what? He didn't die. And he lived a long time, but he was paralyzed the rest of his life. See? I'm gonna predict this. Really? How do you predict that? You don't know that. See? So, thus, the illustration, verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time. And now it's going to illustrate in two ways. As the fish, man doesn't know his time, the time of his death. And the word man, remember each time here, is the word Adam. The Adam is the word literally. The, T-H-E, Adam. It means all humanity, mankind. And if you're in Genesis, the Adam, and then you're going to keep finding it. The Adam, all humanity. So here in chapter 9, verse 12, for man also knoweth not his time, as the fishes are taken, fishes are caught, birds are trapped, men are trapped. Thus, as fishes that are taken in an evil net, fishes. There's no warning, there's no event. The fish doesn't see it, the fish doesn't prepare for it. The ending of their existence. They lack the knowledge of what's going to happen. It's so swift, so sudden, the trap. Thus, the second illustration, as the birds that are caught in the snare, as the birds that are caught and held fast by the snare, the trap, the bird trap, they're held fast by the snare, they're caught. So, in the light of birds, in the light of fishes, they didn't plan, they didn't anticipate, swift, sudden, unexpected, non-planned for, it happens. Thus, my dear friends, so, verse 12, so are the sons of men, the sons of Adam, the man, humanity, so are the sons of Adam snared in an evil time when it falleth suddenly upon them, as the fish, as a bird, unpredictable, uncertain. In the process, so are the sons of men snared in an evil time, difficult time, affliction, a misery, misfortune. We don't plan it, we didn't figure it, we didn't do it, it just happens. And the word to snare is to knot, to tie up. And the tense of the verb is to do something brutally, to get caught. The bird gets caught in a brutal way. Violent way, caught. So are the men, so are sons of men snared in an evil time when it falleth upon them suddenly, to fall, to sink down. Death springs on us at the least moment when we think, when we expect it, when we look to it, we think it's going to happen, we're counting it, we're thinking this is it, and it isn't. Death, when least expected, as we shared together. Now, keeping that in mind, that is least expected, your death. Now let's do it in a different direction, in the light of your death. Go with me, please, over, and let me just remind you in this little review. There's death, and you don't know the moment of your death. Physically, you don't. But what do you know? What do you know? Deuteronomy and chapter 30. Deuteronomy chapter 30. God encourages always. God said, I have no pleasure in the death of the wicked. I do with a believer, but I don't with an unbeliever. Thus, Deuteronomy chapter 30, God admonishing his nation, Israel, chapter 30, verse 19, if I may. I call heaven and earth to record, to bear witness this day against you, not for you, but against you, that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life, that both thou and thy seed may live. This is a word to admonish you, to quicken you, to awaken you with the problem, with the understanding of what? To understand that blessing and cursing, life and death. I want you to choose life. Verse 20, life is what? That thou mayest love the Lord thy God, and that thou mayest obey his voice, that thou mayest cleave unto him. And the reason you're going to look to God, cleave to God, be glued to God, is because he is thy what? He is thy life. Not only is he thy life, he is the length of thy days. He is your life, and as long as he lives, you live. Choose life. Choose life. Do it another way. Over to chapter 32. Deuteronomy 32. And picking up again in verse 46. Then said he unto them, Moses, set your hearts unto all the words which I testify among you this day, which ye shall command your children to observe to do, all the words of this law. Why is that? Verse 47. For it is not vain, fruitless, empty, for nothing. It is not a vain thing for you, because it is your life. Your life is to exercise a relationship to God by way of his word. God gives you his word so that you have some intelligent approach, some intelligent relationship to God, to give him due reverence and respect and honor with some measure that honors him because of the truth of who he is, the reality of who he is. Now, the words that I speak unto you, they are life, life, wonderful, wonderful life. Over to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, just reminding you. In Proverbs chapter 3, picking up in thought again, remember now, we're looking at the comparison, contrast, comparison between death, which you have not a drop of control over, the moment of your death, not one drop, the greatest, most unpredictable thing in your life, and what we can know as believers, knowing, Solomon says, under the sun, this is all you've got, and you can't come up with an answer, and the king of all fears is what? Death. Death is king of all the phobias, line them up, big line of phobias, and the king of all fears, and there's hundreds of fears, is death. When you defeat death, boy, you've conquered a whole pile of things in your life, haven't you? You got to beat death. Beat death, and you win. You win. The rest is easy, boy. Now, having said that, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 1, my son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Reason, for why do you want to honor the word? Because the words that I give you are life. For length of days, the word, for length of days and long life, peace shall they add to thee. So you're looking to a relationship to God. Choose life. He is thy life. He is thy length of days. All the words that I speak unto you make for life. They make for a practical, wonderful, privileged life. And I want you to know Proverbs 3 and verse 2. I want you to know my words give you the length of days. They give you a long life. My words do. How about what I eat? Well, you should be careful, perhaps, with what you eat. But eating isn't going to give you a long life. Isn't going to give you a short life. Because if you don't eat, it's shorter. But over, if you would, to chapter 4. You're in Proverbs. Chapter 4, picking up, if I can, in verse 20. My son, attend to my words, incline thine ear unto my sayings. Let them not depart from thine eyes. Keep them in the midst of thine heart. Reason, for they are life unto those that find them, and health to all flesh. To those that find him, they are life and health. Chapter 8, benefit, the benefits of the relationship. Chapter 8, and again, wisdom personified and made alive. God is wisdom. And thus, in chapter 8, And picking up in verse 35, I'll read verse 34. Blessed is the man that heareth me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the post of my doors. For whosoever findeth me, wisdom, the Lord Jesus Christ, God, whoso findeth me, findeth life, and shall obtain favor in the Lord. But he that sinneth against me wrongeth his own soul. All they that hate me love death. Choose life, not death. Choose life, not death. Death comes out bad, doesn't come out good. God, here we are looking to you, and here's Israel looking to you, and you know all of the wonderful, wonderful statements. Over to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. Israel was to know this, and we, in the church age, as believers, boy, do we have an advantage. And John chapter 20, picking up, if I can, in verse 30. Even verse 29, Jesus saith unto him, Thomas, because thou hast seen me and hath believed, blessed are they that have not seen. Now, he didn't say, blessed Thomas. He said, blessed are they that don't see. You see, Thomas. Blessed are they that don't see, and yet have believed. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. These are written in particular. All 21 chapters are written. These are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. A wonderful, unique relationship. The Lord Jesus Christ will say, I am the resurrection and what? And the life. Look at John 5. All of them. So all 21 chapters, by God, by God's direction, of hundreds of things, thousands of things that could be done. Think of how many people he healed. Where would you want to start listing it? You couldn't. Sometime he just did a blanket. Wow. Where do you begin? You don't. But God picked John, the last living apostle, in the time of Revelation, book of Revelation. He picked these things, God did. He picked them so that we could believe. That's what they're written for. So that's why you tell people to read the Gospel of John. That's why you give them the Gospel of John. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are wonderful, but John is written so that you can believe. That's why believe is listed, counted 99 times in 21 chapters. Believe. Thus, 5 and 24, verily I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me, hath, presently, everlasting life, and shall not come into condemnation, judgment, but is passed from death unto life. So we don't know the moment of the death, not at all. But we know that life, our relationship, cannot be interrupted. All it can do is be enlightened and strengthened. You can't be interrupted. You can't interrupt it. That's how you beat the king of fears, because you have a life that is uninterruptible, never stops. You live as long as he lives. You have passed from death unto life, a wonderful, wonderful relationship to God. And you know over, 1 John, you say it and quote it, you might as well look at it. Now put the two together so you lock it in. 1 John 5, I'll read verse 11. This is the record, the witness that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is found in his Son. Verse 12. He that hath the Son of God hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. And life is a relationship to God. Deuteronomy 30:20, he is thy life, he is thy length of days. He is the person. So this is eternal life, John 17:3, that we might know what? Him and his Son, a person. It's a wonderful person that you have if you get saved looking to God. Thus in verse 20, and we know that the Son of God is come and hath given us an understanding. For what advent, to what end, to what advantage? That we may, K-N-O-W, know him that is true, genuine, real. And we are in him that is true, genuine, and real. Even in his Son, Jesus Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. The end of verse 20, this is the true God, this is eternal life. You see? So your relationship. So no matter what, when, where, how, doesn't matter. You always, if you're saved and you stay healthy, you always know that you have a relationship to God. Exercise it, and it will overcome all the other phobias and everything else, because life overcomes death. True. You know, in 1 Corinthians 15, you live in a I hate to tell you this. You live in a corruptible body. Do you understand that? You're all mortal. Do you know that? You're all going to die. Physically, countering it. You're mortal and corruptible. What has God done? He has overcome the mortal with immortality. He's overcome the corruptible with incorruption. O grave, where is thy, O sin, where, O grave, where is thy victory, etc. Wow. Now, having said that, you got that part? Solomon, you're right on the button. Right on the button. Boy, and if we don't get past the Son, to the Son, S-O-N, S-U-N, to S-O-N, boy, are we in trouble. Because then we're in the uncertain, unpredictable world, and we never have any, to the swift, to the runner, to the athlete, to the businessman, to the skilled, to the intellect. Doesn't make any difference to those that have advantage. No difference. When it all comes out, there's no winning. It happens to everybody, barring no exceptions. Now, go with me, please, over while you're on that thought. Romans in chapter 8. And locking that in your head and heart, but you have life. And life is eternal. It's as good as God. Never changes, never goes away. You're in the presence of God. You practice the presence of God to enjoy the life of God. God never goes away. God never moves. Here we are, God. And we have a relationship to you by way of our Lord Jesus Christ, so that we can deal with you, the infinite, invisible God, in a wonderful way. And you are as stable. The thunderstorms come, the snow comes, winter, fall, spring, summer, all comes and goes, and you're there. It's a bad day humanly, a good day humanly, and you're there. You're there in the hospital. You're there in the kitchen. You're there at work. You're there at school. You're always there. Practice the presence of God, and you'll more enjoy the life of God. Don't practice the presence, you don't enjoy the life. Now, Romans 8, you know. Romans 8, and just tying it together now, we know in the life of all uncertainty and unpredictableness and the swiftness and suddenness of just being alive on planet Earth, verse 28, we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, that are loving God, to them who are called according to want the will of God for the glory of God. We know that everything is going to work together for good. So there is, in the light of all that is unpredictable, uncertain, we have a relationship to God who happens to know it all. And there is nothing unpredictable or uncertain to God. Nothing. So we're looking to God, trusting God. Wow. And you know that all things, no matter what, no matter how, no matter when, no matter where, God gonna move, keeping our eye on you, realizing your presence. I don't want to lose it. I don't want to lose it, God. I'm able to enjoy your presence in the person and because of the person of our Lord Jesus Christ. Thus, Romans 5. Romans chapter 5, picking up in verse 2, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, the grace of God, wherein we stand in the grace of God, and rejoice in hope, anticipation, expectancy of the glory of God. Not only are we doing that, but we glory in tribulations, also knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience bearing up under the load produces experience, putting something to the proof to prove it, and it produces a hope, an expectancy. A gets to B, a mile 1 gets us to mile 2, mile 3 gets us to mile 4, hour 6 gets us to hour 7. Verse 4, patience, experience, and hope. And hope maketh, verse 5, not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given unto us. And there's a unique assurance, hope, expectancy. In the midst of all unexpectancy and unpredictable and uncertainty. But then there is that which is expected, because we have life and we enjoy a life that is uninterruptible. We enjoy a life with you, God, and we know that in all the things that are real around us and in us and about us, but God, we're looking to you, because all of those things only remind us that we have a wonderful, wonderful relationship to you, and that all of it produces a great expectancy, that no matter what, all things work together for good. So we go from step A to step B to step C, and you know God has a purpose. It isn't nothing's without a purpose. So we're looking to God, and on we go. Now, does that help you a little bit? You want to learn to put all of that more and more right in front of your head and heart, so you're practicing the presence of God intelligently and you enjoy God. Otherwise, you're caught up this way horizontally and you lose. You just lose. Now, go back with me over to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And in Ecclesiastes chapter 3, remember our word, time and chance happeneth. And when you read in verse 12, there's a time when the time for this and a time for that. When fish get caught, there's a time when man gets caught, snared. There's a time when that happens. Ecclesiastes chapter 3, remember, you know it without reading it all, but just getting to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under the sun. And time is repeated over and over and over again. Time is repeated for us 30 times. Time. The word time, that which is bounded, what is bound, defined, a time, a general time, a moment of time, without describing whether it's good or bad, whatever, a moment of time, thus. And thus in the light, as you read, remember chapter 3, 1 through 11, there are 28 items, and if you want to use a accounting thing, there are 14 credits and 14 debits. Okay? And in the 1 minute, you get it over here, and the next minute, you lose it over here. So when you're done, you have 14 and 14. 14 minus 14 leaves you with what? A zero. What's the whole point? That it isn't just about time, and it isn't just about living on earth. It just isn't about trying to look at self-eye, can you see ahead a few feet, and try to do it. There's more to it. It isn't about earth. It's about heaven. It isn't about time. It's about eternity. Thus you know, in chapter, chapter 3, no harm in reminding us, chapter 3, verse 11. He hath made everything beautiful, beautiful, suitable, suitable, shining, shining, useful. God has made everything beautiful in his time, and he hath set the world, eternity, puts eternity, in their heart, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from the beginning to the end. And verse 14, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Nothing can be put to it, nor anything taken from it, and God doeth it that man should fear before him. And the whole point is, when you're all done adding and subtracting, getting and losing, having and not having, when you're all done with it, the predictable, the unpredictable, the certain, uncertainty, the certain and uncertain, when you do all of that, you're going to look to God. You're going to look back to Deuteronomy 30, verse 20, choose life, not death. Life will always win for you. Death leaves you a victim, to be victimized by fear. The king of fears, you'll never beat it. You'll never beat it. It's always there, the unknown. But then when you push comes the shove, and your heart is about this, and you're about to die, and you know you're near dying, but you don't know the moment when you die, you're going to die. Then the question is, how sure are you of your relationship to God? How certain are you? That's the question, see? And you'd be surprised what people have when they're in the corner, you know. All of a sudden, push comes to shove. Now, reach out and touch God for me. Touch God. They aren't able to do that. So, God, here we are with all of the time, and we're learning, chapter, I think I said chapter 7, maybe, verse 14, just to remind us. Everything ends up in a wonderful setting. We try to avoid, remember we said in the beginning, the unavoidable. We try to escape the inescapable. And the very best of our human existence is to discover that when we're all done, there's nothing we can hold. You know, just think of all the wonderful statements. Job said it, I came into the world, you come to the end of chapter 1, I came into the world naked and I what? I go out naked. The Spirit of God will say in Timothy, you brought nothing in and you'll take nothing out. It's the rule, it's for certain. So God, where is the satisfaction? Where is it? Well, it isn't here. It isn't in material persons as such, sons of Adam. It's in the God who made them. And if you leave the God who made them out, you're in trouble. Thus, in chapter 7, keep in mind verse 14. In the day of prosperity, be joyful. In the day of adversity, consider God hath set the one over against the other, prosperity and adversity. For what end? To the end that man should find nothing after him. There's no way to put together, the outcome safely. Because it isn't to the swift, to the strong, to the skilled, to the smart, to the advantaged, it doesn't come out always. It doesn't come out. So God said, if you don't look to me, if you leave me out of it, boy, boy, it doesn't come out the bestest at all. Ecclesiastes chapter 11. Chapter 11. And picking up, if I can, in verse 8. If a man live many years and rejoice in them all, 11:8, yet let him remember the days of darkness, for they shall be many. All that cometh is vanity. So it's thus, verse 9, rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let thy heart cheer thee in the days of thy youth. Wow, rip-roaring 15, you see. 20 years old, yay, see. Rejoice, O young man, in thy youth, and let your heart cheer in the days of thy youth, and walk in the ways of thine heart, and in the sight of thine eyes. But know thou that for all of these things that you're looking at and thinking about, God will bring thee what? Into judgment. See? Can I live any way I please and do anything I want, and then I can become an adult, and I've already practiced well as a teenager, so I'm well equipped to do anything, everything I want, the way I want it. I've been trained to do it. And God said, listen, you can do all that. Read verse 10. Therefore, remove sorrow from thine heart and put away evil from thy flesh, for childhood and youth are the most important time of your life. And we people like little babies. Don't they like little babies? Apart from the things they do, they have to do things. Apart from, you got to care for them. But they don't yell at you. They yell, but they don't yell at you. Though they may be, but you don't know it. And whatever, you know, hey. And they're cute. They're cute. And we wish they could stay cute. But you know they aren't going to stay cute. You know that, don't you? And God said, it's all vanity. Because if that's all you've got nothing at all. Nothing at all. Wow. Anyway, I hope that helped a little bit. Death you don't know. A king of fears. But life you should know. And life is uninterruptible. And that's how you handle in the body, in the world, all things working together. You're looking to God to take it. And the unexpected and the unpredictable and the uncertainty of just being alive and the swiftness and suddenness that things occur. And you're looking to a great God inch by inch by inch. And that's how you're going to get through. Anyway, thank you for that. Trust. Thank you.